Today is Mission Sunday. Once a year, we devote a Sunday to concerning our thoughts on mission. Of course, throughout the year, as we go through the Word of God and as we come across those scriptures which teach about mission, our hearts are also turned towards the Lord's desire for man to know God. Today, our speaker is Dr. Philip Tang. And Dr. Tang has served the Lord for a number of years. He's been a Christian for over 50 years, 52 years to be exact. He is a son of a pastor, and he has two sons who are pastors. I have heard, and I believe it's true, Dr. Tang has worked with Dr. Billy Graham and with Urbana in their missions work. And Dr. Tang has served as a pastor for over 30 years in Hong Kong. And then he also, during that same time, was teaching at China Graduate School of Theology in Hong Kong. And then 5 years ago, when he was 65 years old, he retired. I don't know what the Chinese definition of retirement is, but apparently it's not the same as mine, because after retirement, he began a new ministry of work at the Alliance Seminary in Nyack, New York, which is the seminary for the Christian Missionary Alliance. And he has worked there for the last 5 years, developing a program challenging men like myself and others who are of Chinese heritage and interest in working in the Chinese church to be better prepared to serve. Pastor James is one of Dr. Tang's students, and we have a great blessing with us today to learn from the Word of God as this man shares it with us. He'll be sharing from one verse in the New Testament, which we will read together after we read Psalm 138. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 138. Usually the worship leader will say the first verse and you'll say the second, but this time I'd like you to say the first verse and I'll follow you with the even. So if you would open your Bibles to Psalm 138, we'll read all 8 verses of this precious psalm, and you will begin with me on the odd verses and continue to read the odd verses, and I'll lead reading the even verses. I'm reading from the New International Version. Let us begin with verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against me. My foes, with your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And as we look into this psalm, we see God's compassion for all people, and we also see God's plan for those who know him, that we would be in his hands, those who make known the truth of God, even to the kings of earth, that they might praise our living God. And now, if you would turn with me to our scripture from which Dr. Tang will teach upon, it is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Again, a familiar word of scripture which the youth sing quite often, which most of us have heard. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read this verse together in unison. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let us begin. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let us stand together and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to praise you with all of our hearts. And with our heart, we want to bow down toward your holy temple. We want to praise your name. We praise you because you are love. And we praise you because you are faithful. And we exalt you above all things. And we exalt your name. And we praise you for your word. And we pray that all the kings of the earth may praise you on earth. Lord, we know that someday all men will praise you, both believer and unbeliever. But Father, today as we come before you as your royal priesthood, as your holy nation, as the body of Jesus Christ, a people belonging to God, we pray that you would challenge us, encourage us, and teach us how we can let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we together with the saved would declare the praises of him who calls all men out of darkness and into your marvelous light. May your word, O Lord, touch us. May we see, Father, that part of our own healing is ministering to the hurts of others. May we see, O Lord, that part of the call of our lives is to give all to what you have given to us, to this world, the message of grace. Help us, Lord, to be your people today. Help us to be equipped as your people to go out into this world, to change it, to challenge it, and to love it for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Dr. Chang, would you please come and give us God's word today?
It's lovely to hear you singing the praise of God and join you in the spirit of worship. Probably you have been frightened by my age. 70 years old, too old a speaker for you young people. But after all, you must remember that I was also once young, as you are now. And after all, we're all children of God, enjoying his fatherly love in all our lives. We worship God because we love him. We love him because he loved us first. Through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, so that you and I may live an eternal life in our eternally blessed state of existence with God in glory. And we praise God for all that. Now this morning, I'm going to share with you about the mission of the church. The mission of the church. As a church, we do have a mission, a very serious one, a very significant one, and very precious one. That is the mission of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to our fellow people all over the world, not only in the United States, but in every nation. In this outcarrying of God's plan, all of us have a share, and we want to fulfill our commitment in that share so that God can use every one of us here as young people and as maybe older people. All of us are privileged people in the family of God, and as privileged people, we have a responsibility to share the gospel of Christ with others. Now this morning I'm going to present my message by way of contrast. I'm going to mention a few pairs of contrast which will bear out the message today. And the first pair of contrast is found in the verse just read for us, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And in this verse, we find that we are called by God out of the darkness of the world, and then we are to be sent. has delivered us from the power of darkness. So, first, out of darkness, then, as the children of light, we go back into the world as Christ's witnesses with the gospel of light, so that they may be brought into the same light in God too. So out, then back into. Now, this is a wonderful process for all of us to go through. It's our privilege. All this means that the Church of Christ must have a real sense of mission. The mission of being sent by God into the world to declare the glory and the praises and the wonderful virtues of God, so that people will be drawn to come to Christ and to have faith in Him and live their lives in Him, and then in turn be His witnesses too. Jesus Christ Himself is a great example for us to follow. When I studied the Gospel of John in a special way a few years ago, I came to notice the fact that the word sent, used by the Lord, indicating His sense of mission. He was sent by the Father. He was sent by the Father. The word sent was used 39 times in the Gospel of John. Now that indicates that Jesus Christ did have a strong sense of mission as He entered into the world sent by the Father with a mission. He was faithful to that mission all His life. Remember that at the age of 12, He said, "Don't you know that I should be mindful of the business of my Father?" And then, right at His death, when He was crucified on that cruel cross, He cried out with a loud voice, "It is fulfilled, it is finished, it is completed," referring to His mission from the Father. So from the beginning of His life, right to the end, He was faithful to the Father's mission or commitment or commission to Him. As a matter of fact, this leads us to the second pair of contrasts, which we find in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 2. Genesis 12, verse 2. Now here we find the story that God appeared to Abraham in a vision. And in that vision, God said to him, "I will bless you, and then I will make you a blessing to others." Two things are mentioned in this verse. One, to receive blessing from God, and the other is to be a blessing to other people for the sake of God. To receive blessings from God and to be a blessing to others are two things that should be linked together closely. They are spiritual twins. We should never separate them. We cannot choose the one, leave the other. We must take both. When we want to be blessed by God, we must be prepared to live a life of blessings to other people. Only in that fulfillment, God's blessings will continue to dwell with us. That will be a great, great joy and privilege indeed. I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior at the age of 18. And 1 year later, I heard the call of the Lord for me to become His servant, to serve Him full-time all my life, to commit my life, to dedicate my life, to surrender my life to His plan for me. Now, there were a few things that were conducive to my decision to dedicate my life to the Lord, and one of them was a very simple illustration that I heard from a preacher. And that simple illustration changed my whole outlook of life. And it is a very, very simple one. I can relate to you in 2 minutes' time. And many years ago, there was a farmer who owned a piece of land, and there was a spring of water that gushed forth to water to irrigate his farm, for which he was very, very glad. And then one morning, one of his neighbors, who was also a farmer, came to see him with a request. He said, "Now, will you please allow me to dig a ditch so that I can have a share of your water supply?" He said, "No." And his neighbor was very disappointed. But then he said, "You cannot dig one ditch, but you can dig two." Being puzzled, he pressed for explanation, and he said, "The first ditch is for water to flow from my land to yours. And the second ditch is for your water to flow into your neighbor's land. Are you willing?" His neighbor was overjoyed. He said, "Surely I'll do that. That's a very reasonable condition. I'll do it." To dig two ditches, the one to receive, the other to share. And those words were driven home in my mind and heart. I said silently to the Lord, "Lord, I am like that. I never thought of the second ditch. I never thought of the second ditch. All that occupies my mind is the first ditch. I want to have it deep and wide so that I can receive more and more, more abundantly the grace and blessings from God." And then I stop there and nothing more. And there I prayed a very earnest prayer to the Lord. "Lord, help me to dig the second ditch." And that illustration has stuck with me all my life. Even now, I think of it as a very fresh experience. And I often pray that, "Lord, keep on using me as a channel of blessing." That simple illustration changed, again, I say, my whole outlook of life. And that led me to my dedication of my life to the Lord. And today, I want to use this as a challenge to you young people. I was once 18 years old, and some of you are 18 now, or 19 now. Anyway, you're young people. And the Lord throws open this challenge to you also. Are you willing? Are you mindful of the digging of the second ditch in your life so that the Lord will be able to use you as a channel of blessing to other people? There are people around you, all around you, who have a spiritual need. And the Lord is thinking of you to use you as a channel for His blessings to flow out to reach them. And then the third pair of contrast is found in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter, the first part of the pair is found in the 42nd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, verse 2. Now in this verse we find that the house of God or the temple of God is built on the top of a high mountain. The temple of God is high up there, well above the world or well above worldliness. And the people of God had to climb up and up and up in order to have fellowship with God, in order to be one with Him in spirit, in order to enjoy His presence, in order to worship Him, in order to follow Him. We have an upward journey, upward, upward, into the presence of God. Now that's the direction of the movement of every Christian's life. We do not go downward. We move upward because we are drawn towards that direction by the love of God and the truth of Christ and the cross of Christ. We are guided in our steps upward journey. But on the other hand, there is the other part of the prayer, which is found in also the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verse 1. In this verse, we find that there is a river flowing out from the gate of the temple of God down the high mountain into the valley of Jordan to provide water for the need of all the people there. On one hand, we move upward in order to reach into the presence of God. That is our regular movement, regular practice. And that's our ambition, to draw near to our Heavenly Father in His glory. But on the other hand, we must remember also that there is a river flowing out from the gate of the temple of God, from the presence of God, into the world to meet the need of the people there. So we find the posture of a Christian, or the posture of every Christian church, is like this. On one hand, we move upward. We reach up to be with God. At the same time, we reach down in humility and in willingness to serve for the need of the people around us. So this is the posture that we want to take as portrayed for us here in this book of Ezekiel. I remember reading something written by a well-known pastor in England by the name of F.B. Meyer, which I remembered